The Brendan O'Connor Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Advice and expertise on the relief you need from hay fever at All Care Community Pharmacies across Ireland.
Okay, well, let's stick with, we started the hour in a literary fashion, so let's stick with books now. Did you know that in Ireland we bought a million more books in 2020 than we bought in 2019? And I think we'd all agree that a lot of people read their way through the lockdowns, and indeed three of those people who did are on the line now. So poet Enda Wiley, welcome. Dr. Aver Walsh, author and director of creative writing at UCC, and former Fianna Fáil Minister Mary O'Rourke, welcome. Good afternoon, everybody.
Hello, Brendan.
There's all kinds of echoing and everything going on there. Right, we'll negotiate our way through this as best we can. So, as I was saying, book sales up hugely in 2020. Mary, did you find yourself reading more? Did you find the people around you reading more over the last year?
Well, I certainly found myself reading more. Not the first lockdown, because if you remember, that was summertime, so there was kind of a lot going on. But in the last horrible 4 months lockdown, yes, I read and read and read. And I wouldn't be in any kind of form that I am if I hadn't had books. I'm not surprised at all that the sale of books hugely went up. Of course, so many people said, I'm going to get a book and I'm going to read. And that's what I kept doing.
Did you find, just to segue from the books for a minute, did you find the most recent lockdown particularly tough, Mary? Yeah?
I did, very much so, because I was scared if I got it, I'd die. That was the first thing. I was looking after myself and I said, if I get the COVID, I'll die because of my age and all sorts of underlying things that I might know I had even. So I was very careful, and I did find it hugely bothersome and awful. And only for I had my son and his wife and their family, they live in Athlone, only for them I don't think I'd survived it. But I did anyway, and I'm here to tell the tale, and I'm here to say I loved your show so far this morning. Such interesting people. Three ex-politicians, marvellous, and then Tommy. Oh, I love Tommy. The whole show was terrific.
Thank you, Mary. I'm going to bring you on at this time every week to give me a bit of a gee up for the rest of the show.
Yes,
you can be. I think we decided we do this before, like the two fellas sitting up in the balcony on the Muppet Show, and you can sit there and comment as we go along. People did turn to books a lot in the last year, didn't they? As a kind of a sanity thing, I think, with a lot of people.
Yeah, I think so. It's great to be here, and it's lovely to hear Mary. And I got a bit giddy there, actually, listening to Vitan as well. So it's great to hear that poem.
Yes,
a bit like what Mary was saying, I turned to books as well. My husband and I set up a podcast, actually, called Books for Breakfast, and we were chatting to writers all through lockdown, which was great to keep connected. And also, I was lucky, I was asked to be a judge for the Dublin Literary Award. So there were box loads of books coming into my house, Brendan, over the last couple of months, reading loads of books from all over the world. It was fantastic. And the winner will be announced on May the 20th. So if anyone wants to log in to that Dublin Literary Award site, they can hear. There's a podcast there as well of the writers.
Andy, you've plugged your podcast and you've plugged the literary
site. Right?
You're done now. You're giving value for the rest of this.
I can head off for the rest of this item.
No.
Yeah.
Aver, I'm looking at the bestsellers from last year, and there's The Boy, the Mole, the Fox and the Horse is number one, and I think Where the Crawdads Sing by De Leon is number two. Aver, was there a sense that people might have been reading slightly more gentle, thought-provoking books than they might have been before?
I'm not sure about that. I think, as Mary and Enda were saying, we were all reading, and I remember buying books knowing that the lockdown was about to happen. And really, a lot of the books that I read would very much have... I mean, they were dark in many ways, like all really good books, and they sort of explored. So, I mean, I went back to a lot of old favourites, but I also, like everybody else, I was reading really to kind of, I suppose, keep ourselves connected, because we had disconnected from so many people.
Yeah.
I also had the experience of publishing a book right when lockdown hit. My novel came out, but in fact, it did really well. I was delighted with that because I thought, you know, book sales and people reading and reviewing is just going to go away. But in fact, there was a real energy.
People wanted to read
and people wanted to connect with things.
And seeing as Enda got to plug everything, your book, Aver, it's about Elizabeth Bowen, isn't it?
Yeah. Thanks, Brendan. I love to plug it. Thank you. It was a novel called The Last Day at Bowen's Court, and it was about Elizabeth Bowen during the Second World War. It's published by Somerville Press. And really, the parallels between living through the Blitz in London and then I think what we were experiencing, a world turned upside down. Anyway, I hope it seemed to have done well. People seem to have enjoyed it and it got out there. And I really want to praise bookshops and publishers who really stood by us as readers and as writers as well, and actually went out there and gave us the books we wanted.
And funnily enough, Mary, one of the books you've chosen as a book you got a lot out of is also a book about Elizabeth Bowen.
That's right. I was wondering, Brendan, should I interrupt and be rude or should I wait my turn? But I decided, I'm glad I waited my turn. Yes, I read a wonderful book called The Shadowy Third. Doesn't that just sound great?
Yeah.
And it's by Julia Parry. It's her first book, and it's about her grandfather. When her grandfather died, she inherited, well, I don't know if she inherited, but she got a big box of correspondence. And it was between her grandfather, Humphrey House, and Elizabeth Bowen. And it's an amazing book. The Shadowy Third is Humphrey's wife, Madeleine. But it was the first book for a long, long time. When I took it up in the morning to read it, I kept reading it all day long. And there were phones going and phone calls I didn't return, letters I should have written, things I should have cooked, and I did none of them. I read that book the whole way through.
And Mary, do I get the impression The Shadowy Third was okay with Elizabeth Bowen's affair with Humphrey House, was she?
Oh, no, she wasn't at all.
Okay.
No, but she was there. That was the point.
Right.
She was there. And indeed, Elizabeth Bowen didn't treat her well when the first time she met her. She was patronising and quite horrible. But she came into her own when her dear husband died. He died young, the grandfather of the author. He died late 40s. And she took on the work he had been doing, which was a huge academic work of the correspondence of Charles Dickens. And she took that on and she suddenly came into her own. Now, she was in her own all the time throughout the book, even though the correspondence and the affair was going on with Elizabeth Bowen and Humphrey House. She was always there and always in a quiet way asserting herself, having babies. She had three, and picking up the pieces when Humphrey and Elizabeth they didn't part, they never were together, but when their correspondence dried up, and indeed Elizabeth Bowen went off and found herself another companion, shall we say charitably, in Sean O'Fallon. So, I mean, the whole book is, and the description of Bowen's court.
Okay, great.
Oh, it was amazing.
If people wanted to go back to the original then and read Elizabeth Bowen, you're a big fan of hers, where would you recommend people start?
Well,
yes,
go on.
Mary talking there, actually, I'd love to read that book, The Shadowy Third. It sounds brilliant. I live near the canal, and Elizabeth Bowen spent her first 7 winters there. In fact, there's a plaque up, Brendan, and it says Elizabeth Bowen was born and spent her first 7 winters here. So there's a beautiful memoir that she wrote called 7 Winters. It came out in 1943, and it's all about her childhood there. She said that her summers were for going to Bowen's Court. And then it's a real kind of beautiful childlike view of the city. I think it's excellent. But also, she's brilliant on dialogue and atmosphere. And she'd be mischievous, too. I love a novel like Eva Trout or I like a novel like A World of Love or The Hotel. And I love short stories as well. And I don't know if Ava and Mary would agree with me, but I love her short story, The Demon Lover, which is a particularly yes. chilly, ghostly story. And actually, in fact, I was reading it yesterday and I just got that chill again. So I would recommend okay. her short stories to everybody as well, Brendan.
Okay, great. And now a few new releases maybe. Ava, you've picked Nora by Nuala O'Connor.
Yes, wonderful novel. It's Nuala O'Connor's fifth novel. She's written about Emily Dickinson, but this is about Nora Barnacle and James Joyce. And it's a novel that the minute you get into it, you just, it's like getting on a boat and stepping into the middle of a story. And I've loved Joyce's work and I've been reading it all my life. And I loved reading about Nora Barnacle and there's been biographies. But you feel in this novel that you're actually inhabiting their world. And it takes them really from their first meeting and their lives together all through Europe and the great triumphs of their life, including the influence that Nora Barnacle had on Joyce's writing and the woman that she was herself. And then the tragedy, I think, and it is a tragedy, of their daughter Lucia and how both dealt and didn't deal with her illness. It's
which she had what we would now call schizophrenia, is that right?
And yes, and that's really what Nuala O'Connor, well, it's one of the many things she deals with. And there has been a lot of criticism of Nora, in a sense, as a mother. And I've always thought that was very unfair. And what I think Nuala O'Connor does in Nora is gives us a beautiful portrait of a marriage and of both of them, they're both their strengths and their weaknesses and how they, you know, Nora lived a very difficult life with Joyce. They lived all over, they lived in very difficult circumstances. But okay. the connection with their work, the connection with the writing, but also this portrait of the woman herself. I think it's a wonderful novel and it's one of the ones that really has got kind of, reading it in January, just kind of got me through as
great, Ava,
Mary and Endovine saying, you know, the way that I think, you know, books kind of saved our lives.
Yeah.
For me anyway, as a reader, books saved our lives in this really terrible time.
Yeah, okay, that's Nora by Nuala O'Connor. Mary, you're reading another new book and a lot of people will have read When All Is Said by Anne Griffin and she has a follow-up to it now.
It's called Listening Still by Anne Griffin, a Westmeath woman, if you don't be minding. But I didn't read her first one in 2019, but I've got this one now in my hand and it's so interesting. I just read in the beginning what it was going to be about and it sounds fascinating. And I like a good story and it is a good story, a very good story. And I'm also reading a very heavy kind of a one. It's called The Partition by Charles Townshend. Now that's very heavy going because it's, oh, good Lord, the whole detail of who took over what and what they were doing, but I'm sticking with it. So I have a heavy one, and not, I wouldn't call Listening Still light anything, but I have two contrasts going okay. on at the moment. Yeah.
Okay. And yeah, Listening Still does sound fascinating. I think as much as it's an undertaker's daughter and she
yes,
can hear
and
she can hear the dead, their last thoughts.
Speaking.
But I think about Irish families and that as well and all that and disappointed lives and everything.
Yes.
And you picked two new books, new releases. Tell us about The Crooked Tree.
Yeah, God, I mean, and just listening to Ava and Mary there, it's great, I thought, in lockdown when books arrive through your door from bookshops. So thanks to all the bookshops for helping. It's been brilliant to get them. And I was really pleased to get this book by Una Mannion. It's a debut novel. She grew up in Philadelphia, in Pennsylvania, and she's been writing for the last few years. And this book is a suspenseful, kind of dark coming-of-age novel. And it's about a young family called the Gallaghers. And it opens with this incredible moment of rage from the mother. She's driving the kids home in the car. It's the end of term. And I'm sure a lot of parents out there will, recognize this feeling where she just gets really enraged with all the action in the car. And she pulls over on the highway and she throws her 12-year-old daughter, Ellen, out. So that's the beginning of the novel, Brendan. It's quite a...
every parent has threatened her at times, yeah.
Yeah, but so it's kind of, and then you're left wondering, oh my God, what's going to happen now? And I found it was really surprising the way she twisted this novel around. And
okay, great.
It's full of humour as well, Brendan, and lots of love in it, grief. And it's told by a 15-year-old. She's the central character. And Una Mannion herself, she grew up in America in a large Irish-American family. And you really feel in this novel that she gets, you know, the politics of a big family. And it's set in the 1980s, which I really liked, the clothes, the music, the food. And apparently she was influenced by, she was watching the Netflix drama Stranger Things. And she realised that children in the 80s, she remembered, had so much freedom.
Yeah.
And so she wanted to write about that as well. So it's really, I think as well, it's beautifully written. And I think in lockdown, you know, we were all kind of looking for things of beauty. And I really found it in this book. I thought the language was extraordinary, really. So it's an absolute gem of a book. I'd really recommend it.
What is the name of the book?
The Crooked Tree by Una Mannion.
Crooked Tree, yes.
And then just very briefly, I know you really wanted to mention Trouble by Philip O'Callaghan. Just give me 30 seconds.
Yeah, brilliant. It'll be in the shops on May the 27th. It's published by the Stinging Fly Press. He's a brilliant short story writer and he's living in Bucharest at the moment. So a lot of the stories are set there. You know, John Banville said that it's fantastic writing. And I think these stories are really memorable. They're perfectly achieved. Again, exquisitely written. And you can actually pre-order it if you want on the Stinging Fly Press website if you're bursting to get them. I really recommend these stories.
Okay, Enda Wiley, thanks a million. Mary O'Rourke and Ava Walsh, thank you very much. And we will put all those recommendations and more as well that we didn't get to up on our website, rte.ie/Brendan.